Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by. God has given us another week, and you know what that means? It means we're another week closer to meeting the Jesus, another week closer to seeing heaven. Oh boy, I can't hardly wait. And in the meantime, we're going to worship the Lord and trust him and tell the whole world, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. And today we have a sermon, and we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we believe the Bible is the Word of God because it agrees perfectly with science. So tune that in. Call your friends. Say, this guy's going to talk about the Bible and science. Let's see what this is all about. And we just hope that you'll join us and worship the Lord together. And now I've got some letters. We just want to thank you for all the letters. And before I read these letters, I wanted to tell you about something. Whenever we get a letter, we try to answer every question we have. And you know the question they ask me the most I've been in this work for 71 years. And you know what they ask me the most? Can I lose my salvation? How can I be sure I'm saved? How can I be sure I'm going to heaven? And if I'm saved, can I lose my salvation? Now, this is what we did. We've written a booklet on this. It's about 10 pages. And it says, can I lose my salvation? And it says, absolutely not. And it's all from the Bible. So if you want to get a copy of that, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send a contribution, that'd be fine, because it costs us to publish these as 10 pages, and it's all Bible. It's not some that I've died and come back to life and all that. It's all Bible, what God has to say, and it'll give you assurance, it'll give you joy, and it'll give you happiness. So you write to us on shortwave. It's box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now let's look at some of the letters that we get. The first one I want to read is from Rapid City, South Dakota. And listen to this because you're going to want to pray for this person. This person writes, a lady, God is not pleased with me. He can't possibly love me and make my life so miserable at the same time. I read the Bible and I try to pray. The Bible tells about the wrath of God. Please pray for me and ask God to be kind to me. Thank you. And you know, I just am so glad this person tuning in, because we've got good news. It is true that it is the wrath of God is going to be poured out on all sin, but there's the love of God right now. And on this side of the grave, you have the love of God, but after that ends at the grave, if you haven't accepted Jesus, no more love than the wrath. But you just says that whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. And then, you know, we got a little booklet, a little paper we put out every month. And it's called The New Song. And there's a little Bible study in that. And so you get your pencil and paper ready, and I'll give it to you in just a minute. And you can get a lot of help from that. So let's pray for this lady. Now, here's a nice letter that I got, London, Kentucky. And it says, things are good in Kentucky this morning, sunny and frosty, the first day of deer season. I've already enjoyed your program this morning. It was wonderful. God bless you all. And I just would always wanted to go to Kentucky, but I just never got there. And I know I'm not going to make it now because I use a walker. And that's a long way to walk from South Dakota, Kentucky. But I just would like to see Kentucky. And here it is. This is down home. Here it is. See, it's a bright, sunny morning, and they're starting deer season. And you know, I used to hunt deer, and God bless them. I don't know how you eat deer meat, venison. I shot an old buck one time, and it was so bad, the neighbors asked us to close our windows when we fried the meat. It was just terrible. And so I hope you do better than we did on deer hunting. That's all a thing of the past. But God bless Kentucky. Here's Boynton Beach, Florida. And listen to this one. No, I have no church, so you are it. I'm physically able to go to church, but mental illness keeps me from fitting in. And I thought, every one of you that gives to this ministry, you pray for us and you give to this ministry, you help us so we can have a worship service for this dear person. And she's in her home and she can't get out for different reasons. And here we're ministering to her. So you think about helping us in our work. I'll give the address in just a minute. And we do pray for this dear person. And the Lord is as close to her as he is to us. Whether you're in church or not, you ought to go to church if you can. But if you can't, the Lord is with you. Right as close as you can be. Here's Lakeland, Florida. I received your book on Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? I never knew Christ did so much for us when he died on the cross until I read that book, and it blessed me so much. The scripture I liked most was Romans 8, 35 to 39. I thank the Lord for having me to turn you on TV that morning. And so we've had a lot of results, a lot of help given to people that have suicide in their families. And then one other where I want to read is Marble Rock, Iowa. I want to become a better child of God. Could you send me literature on become closer to God? And we've done that, and we will do that. And if you need to have literature, and if you accept the Lord during our service, we'll love to send literature. It doesn't matter anywhere in the world. We'll pay the postage. It's worth it. And it'll get you started in the Christian life. And so we just pray that the Lord will be honored and that people will come to know Jesus. Now we want to look at our subject for today. I know the Bible is the Word of God because of its scientific accuracy. Have you ever heard someone say, I don't believe the Bible because it doesn't agree with science? Science and the Bible just do not agree. Did you ever hear that? Well, the next time you hear that kind of talk, mark it down. This bird doesn't know the facts. This guy is off base and he doesn't know it. He's lost in the woods. Because the truth of the matter is the Bible agrees perfectly with science. Perfectly with science. There's not one single scientific fact that does not agree with the Word of God. And now let me say right off of the bat, too, that the Bible is not a book on science. The Bible is a book on eternal truth. The Bible is a book on theology, and it talks about the things of God. It talks about the things eternal. It talks about heaven, and it talks about hell, and it talks about death, and it talks about what we do and with how we handle death. And so it's a book of the eternity from God, but it does contain some scientific facts. And when it has any scientific fact, it always agrees with science. Well, someone says, well, what about evolution? The Bible repudiates revolution, does it not? You bet it does. You bet it does. It doesn't agree with evolution at all. It always has repudiated it. It always will resist it. It will always condemn evolution. And you know why the Bible doesn't agree with evolution? You know why? Because evolution isn't a scientific fact. It's not a scientific fact. What is evolution? It's a theory. It's a bad theory. It's a fairy tale. It's a hoax. It's really a lie. You don't believe that? Well, let's spend some time looking at the evolution, if you will. If evolution is true, then the Bible is wrong. If the Bible is true, then evolution is wrong. You can't have it both ways, Buster. So evolution has a problem. And it is not a science, and I'll tell you why it isn't a science. It has three great problems that it can't solve. And it can't solve it because it isn't scientific. It isn't true. Erwin Lutzer says, many scientists are now admitting that evolution is contrary to the known laws of science. Therefore, is not based on science, but on naturalism. Evolution is, if it is anything at all, is anti-scientific. And Louis Bornet, director of scientific research in France, is quoted as saying, evolution is a fairy tale for adults. Now, why isn't it a science? Why, what's wrong with evolution? Well, three things at least. For first thing they have a problem with the nothing and matter. The scientific fact is, if you have nothing, then nothing comes out of nothing. That's science. Now, evolution says something comes out of nothing. It's crazy. And they said nothing, they have nothing, and yet out of nothing, they have a human being, or they have a little animal, or they have something, see? And so out of nothing comes something, just presto, zippo, ho-ho, you might say. It is impossible. And so they're saying the first big problem they have is they're trying to make something out of nothing. And that's not science. The second problem they have is how a dead, cold, lifeless matter can come to life. That's what they teach. That's their theory, that life came out of dead, cold matter. Talk about a wild imagination. Evolutionist takes first prize. I don't know if some people with the short minds would even buy into that. They teach this. Dead atoms originate, can organize themselves in a living thing. And wow, this piece of coal or this piece of mud, out of that mud comes some living thing. They don't tell you where they get the mud either. They don't tell you where they get the atom. They just say that it's there. And so it is, evolution is unscientific because it flies in the face of the law of cause and effect. The premise has never been observed in all of nature at any time in other place. It has never, ever happened that something living came out of something dead and cold. It's never happened. And I'll give you a little advice, a little suggestion. It never will. It's total nonsense. It's not science. It's fairy tale. It's craziness. It doesn't matter how much, and it doesn't matter how much time we give it for something to happen like that. They say if we had more time, here's a little experiment. You can give them 1 month, you can give them 1 million years, but still you can't bring something, you can't bring life out of something that's dead and cold and miserable. Time is no factor. The premise is faulty. And the result will never come. No, sir. If you put your brain in gear for 5 seconds, you won't buy evolution, because they never have and they never will account for the gap between dead matter and living life. It's cold, dead matter can't come alive. You don't need much sense to know that. And the third problem they have is the between lower creation and man. That is when an ape becomes a man. Here's where what we have called the missing link. I remember when I went to high school, they were looking for the missing link. They're still looking for the missing link. Well, what is the missing link anyway? Well, the missing link is that transition when the animal becomes a man, when an ape becomes a man. And so they have to, he's half animal and he's half man. He's half ape, he's half man. And the evolutionists are running around and they're wringing their hands and they're trying to find this link where something is half man and half ape. And they're looking their heads off and they're wringing their hands and no missing link has ever been found. And I remember in the 1940s, they had Life magazine then in those days. And they were looking for somebody found the missing link in Africa. And oh, my dear Lord. And when they found out it was some old bone and it was a hoax and there was no missing link at all. They're always looking. Well, they're going to look for a long time. No missing link has ever been found. And you know this, if evolution took place over millions of years, wouldn't you think that the earth would be full of these little missing links where they're moving from an ape to a man? That would be everywhere. Well, we know there were dinosaurs And we find skeletal remains of the dinosaurs all over the place. Why wouldn't we find a missing link if there were any of them? They'll never find them because they never found them, because there is no such thing. An ape is an ape and a man is a man. And it was that way at creation when God made them, and it's that way today, and it'll always be that way, and it'll never change. It is true. Now, it is true that among species, and you can have a little evolution, a little variation. You can breed cattle so that it'll be more on giving milk, or you can give them so they'll be more on having meat, or something like that. But it's always inside this species. You never get a cow to move a cow, evolve into a horse, or a horse into a giraffe, or an ape into a man. The species is there. It's set, and then it'll never change. And so this wonder if there can be no collision between science and the Bible, because I'll tell you why. God created science, and God created the Bible, wrote the Bible, and God never contradicts himself. And because he's the God of science, he's the God of the Bible, and there's no contradiction. And you can talk from now till you're blue in the face. We're taught in Sunday school, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That comes from the Bible. It will never change. You know why it'll never change? Because it is truth. And that truth will never change. You can count on your Bible. You can go to sleep tonight knowing that that holy book comes from God, and it is accurate and true, and that you can stake your soul on it. You can stake eternity on it. You can stake heaven and hell on that. That wonderful Bible. The Bible declares in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so we look at that wonderful thing. And this wonderful Bible in the beginning, it was brought about by a master designer. It involves an intricate and vast creation. It brought about absolutely. It was brought out of nothing. God speaks it into existence, and it is brought there by God Almighty. And this one, God created the heavens and the earth. And so now you know where that all comes from. The evolutionist doesn't know where the stars came from. They have no idea, and they're still out there in the bushes looking for a missing link. If that isn't education, that is a weird story I've heard. These so-called scientists say there was a time when all matter and energy was contained in a little tiny speck of an atom. And then all of a sudden that atom, there was an explosion, and they call it the Big Bang. And that little tiny atom exploded, and here are the stars and the moon and all of the creation and all the galaxies, and man himself all came out of that Big Bang. Now you think that's big news, don't you? Well, 1929, an astronomer, Edwin Powell Hubble, he's proved that the universe is constantly expanding, and he's talking about that years and years and years ago. And so this creation, the proponents contend, came with nothing out of nothing. But God says he speaks and brings it into existence. Now I don't know if there was a big bang when it happened or not, but it could be, it might have been, I don't know. But I know that God spoke and it came to pass. And so this is a miracle. Here this big bang, for instance. They says that there's a little tiny atom, and there's a big bang, and there's all of creation and everything in it. And so I read where one man says, well, why don't you do that? He says, that makes about as much sense as a print shop having an explosion, and out of the explosion comes a Webster's dictionary. It's crazy, crazy talk. And so this pinnacle of it all came when God created man. And this is all origination of time and space, and everything comes. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now we know where it came from. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. Man became a living soul. We know where man comes from. We know where the animals come from. The evolutionist doesn't know, but the Christian knows. The Christian with the Bible knows. And let me tell you something else about this. You know, they were used to teach that the earth was flat, wasn't it? And you could float, you go, and you drop off the face of the earth. Well, what do we read in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22? Thousands of years ago, what do we read? Isaiah tells us that God sitteth on the circle of the earth. All the other guys are talking about us being flat and square. Here, the circle of the earth. And then look at here. The earth is suspended in space. Job, 3,000 years ago, Job 26, verse 7. Listen to what he says. He says, he hangeth the earth upon nothing. How? They didn't know that until centuries later. It says that the stars cannot be numbered. Hundreds of years before Christ, it was thought that there were about 2,000 stars in what they called the dome of space. And centuries later, they said, no, there's about 400 million. Now, today they agree with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33, verse 22, he says, the stars cannot be numbered. How did he know that? Nobody else did. God. Listen to this. He determines in Psalm 147, verse 4, he determines the number of the stars and he calls them each by name. That's my God. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God you can trust and rely on. The stars and the sand can be compared. I remember the day when they laughed and said, you can't compare the stars and the sand. There's no comparison. In Genesis 22, verse 17, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is by the shore. And that's exactly what happens. They have no idea how many, not how many stars, but how many galaxies there are. And maybe there's more stars than there is sand. Who knows? But as a good comparison. And another thing the Bible teaches us that they didn't know anything about, and that is that stars do not deviate in their courses. They didn't know that until recently. In the Song of Deborah and Barak, God reveals the stars in their courses, Judges 5, verse 20. And the atmosphere has weight. They didn't know that. And for centuries and centuries, Job 28, verse 25, Job talks about the weight of the winds. Finally, now science has confirmed this fact, but they come running along centuries later, and God knew it all the time, and it's in the book. It's in the Bible. Science. The winds move on certain fixed courses, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1, 7. The wind returneth according to his circuits. And listen to this. Moses writes in Leviticus 17, verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The world didn't know that until 1615. And then when that happened, the scientific community regarded it as an amazing discovery. 3,000-4,000 years earlier, the life is in the blood, sure enough, just like God said. Oh, my friend, let me give you one more. The flesh, all flesh is not the same. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. Now, for many years, the scientists attacked this as unscientific. They said, that's not true, because all flesh is made of protoplasm, and so all flesh is the same. That's what they preached, and they laughed at the Bible, and all the people in the Bible could say, I believe it because God says it. Go hang. And so what did they find out? Now they find cytoplasm, the nuclei of cells, and they say now, oh, yeah. There is four kinds of flesh, the Bible and science. Don't you ever put that Bible down as old-fashioned, out of place. And that Bible says that you have to come to Jesus. He says that He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He tells us in John 5, verse 24, and you better believe it, but God bless you. You better believe it wherever you are in this world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. John 5, 24. Now listen, you ask Jesus to come into your life and take away your sins, and he'll come into your life, and then you write to us. And our box number is we're Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. And those of you that are having a tough time of it, you just know we're praying for you, and we're going to pray for you right now, and we're going to pray for the believers in Iran. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Bible that tells us all about the things of God. Help there may be multitudes receive you. Help those who are on beds of sickness and those who are lonely, and help them to love you and trust you and lean on you. And to those, O Lord, in Iran who are suffering, dying for you, bless their families. Be close to them and help them, and help us, O God. Help us to know that this is the word of the Lord, and God's word abideth forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word never pass away. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you for listening in, being with us today. I hope that you'll send your gift now, because we need your help. And we've got, let's get our number up there, Box 2002, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send us a gift on the internet, you can do that, christianworshiphour.com. We need to hear from you, we need your help. If you want us to carry on, you got to help us out. And you do that, and we'll be faithful as we can be. We're praying that you'll have a good week. Pray that you'll lean on Jesus. Pray that you'll know that he'll never leave you or forsake you, that you'll always be there, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. We thank you that you love us and God, and you gave us your Son. And so we love each other in the Christian Worship Hour. We love you wherever you are, whoever you are. Maybe you're deep in sin. We love you. That's why we're preaching. That's why we're telling you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, and you'll have everlasting life. We pray that many will do that. So God bless you, and we'll be looking for you next week. And maybe the Lord will come. Maybe he won't. But either way, we'll be together worshiping. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.